got a bit teary in communion. I thought, oh, there you go. Didn't expect that. Anyway. So in 6 days' time, Rachel and I are going to celebrate 30 years of marriage in 6 days. And why it's important, why I share that, is because we got married here in this church. But it wasn't in this church. It was in Wilberforce Anglican Church. And Pete Davies did the marriage. And here we are, 30 years later. And after that, that was in December. And then, see, I figured it out in my head, though. That was good. After that, we actually ended up, then we went straight from there in February 1994. We went into full-time ministry together. So that's 30 years ago. Now, at the time, church had just started. So we just started as a church. And I'm going to share with you, you are part of HVBC, Hawkesbury Valley Baptist Church. You were nearly God's glossy groovers. So we're standing and we're sitting in a circle, figuring out what's this church going to be called, Ring Glossodia, and someone came up with the name, I think it might have been Crystal Schreiner, said, what about we become God's glossy groovers? Praise the Lord. But interestingly enough, so here we are 30 years, and Rachel and I decided, because some of you know us, and we're not travellers, we don't travel much, but we decided to travel for our 30th anniversary and 30 years of ministry, and we spent just over 30 days in the UK. And I have a photo of the UK. There it is. I could have given you lots of great photos, but this is the photo you get to see. This is it. All right? And what that photo is, it's a photo of Roman ruins covered in glass that you can walk on in York Minster, in York, and they're there being preserved. Rocks. It's old, and this is prior, so this is when Rome sort of ruled England and up to Hadrian's Wall and all that sort of stuff, and then the church gets built on top of that. So York Minster gets built on top of that, which is this extraordinary big sort of extraordinary building, actually. But here's what I noticed. I noticed that there's a lot of preserving going on. So I was trying to get photos of churches and buildings and wherever we went, but it was really hard to get an angle that didn't have scaffolding. There's just scaffolding everywhere. There is preserving everywhere. There are names. You get to the point where you go, there's so many. I'm sick of taking photos of statues, buildings. There's names everywhere. And it's interesting. There was a lot of energy poured into preserving the past. And I guess you're sitting here thinking, I know where he's going with this already. You guys know me. I'm very obvious. There's a lot of energy that can be poured into the past, and there can be no energy left over for the future. And what I noticed when I was in England, I actually met with the leader of the Baptist Union of England, and her name's Lynn, and she was talking to me about it, and I sort of said, look, you're allowed to say Mark's an idiot when I leave. Well, you can say it now, if you like. We were talking to her. But it was interesting, but I'm going to try and make one observation. You can say that I'm ignorant, and I'm stupid, and that because I've really come from an ignorant position, coming from Australia to England, not knowing anything. But I reflected on that's what the emotion I was having. Now, I said, you're also allowed to say, well, that's Mark's emotion, that's not ours. And I asked the question, do you find that the churches, and there's a lot of preserving of the past? It's a cultural thing, there's preserving of rituals, there's preserving of names, it's a cultural thing in the UK. But I said, do you find that that's invaded the church a little bit? And she actually used a different phrase. She said, well, maybe not preserving the past. She said, what about we believe we are custodians of history in a lot of ways. And I went, yeah, I kind of get that. And then realised I don't fit in England. And I thought through today, when Doc asked me, will I come and share today? And I thought, I'd really love to talk about the parable of talents and what the Bible talks about when the Bible calls us to make sure we don't preserve the past and put so much energy into that. And sometimes that's grief, and sometimes that's, it could be all sorts of different ways we preserve the past. And sometimes it takes so much of our energy that we've got nothing left for the future. And so let me pray, and we're going to let's talk about the parable of the talents and what it teaches us. Lord, we just thank you so much, Jesus, that you constantly had that newness. And you talked about new wine bursting old wineskins. And oftentimes we read in scriptures, they bring a new song. Lord, we learn from the past. We know that. And we celebrate and we remember. We've just done it with communion, Lord. But also, as we take communion, we know that the scriptures tell us that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we have a forward thinking in our lives as well, an eternal mindset. And I pray that this morning you would just take us on a journey through your parable, and you would take us on a journey of understanding how to learn from the past, how to grow from the stories of you moving wonderfully, but also to have our eyes on where you're moving and to follow in step with your spirit. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. When those values were established by the church in, I think, about 2002, faith, hope, and love. Faith, we actually, the first phrase was that faith, we are a risk-taking church. We are a risk-taking church. And that's how come we're here now today. The hope value said we have an eternal perspective and we have an integrity perspective. So we're unashamedly going to go, we're going to live for eternal things, and we're going to have integrity in everything that we do. And I remember when we went down to the council to get a DA for this place, that we were open-handed and saying, this is who we are, this is how it works. And I remember us asking council to help us with the DA. Instead of trying to convince council that we're going to be a good community or whatever, we said, we actually need your help, and this is what we're going to do. And council went, well, okay, well, we'll help you. And so we had no barriers because we went openly with integrity. And the love value, actually, it was a value said that we are united but diverse. And it was really important for us that love was a value that we ministered God's grace in its various forms, which you read in 1 Peter, and that we were all in this together. And I get excited about that because when I reflect back on it, I go, that's what moves us past preserving the past and moving into the future. That's what moves us onto God's agenda, not our own agenda. Because we are a risk-taking church. Because we have an eternal perspective. So we think about the generations to come. That was written into our values. There was nine key things under that faith, hope, and love. So there's some depth to those values. And we decided that's the way we're going to be. That's the way we're going to behave. That's going to be our culture. And so with that as a backdrop, let's have a look at this. Let's open up God's Word and let's have a look at this parable. It's pretty huge. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives these kingdom parables. He talks about the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's primarily written to a Jewish audience. And so the phrase meant the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. It meant something. This is what life is meant to be. This is what it's about. This is what we're covenanted to. But let's read this middle one. So that there's the parable of the bridesmaids, the 10 brides, wise and foolish bridesmaids. And then there's the parable of the sheep and the goats. And they're pretty intense. But in the middle, there's this one. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip, and he called them to give an account for how they'd used his money. The servant to whom he entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who'd received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest and I've earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. It's a good story so far. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Merry Christmas. It's intense. And it's a parable that Jesus told for us. It's a parable which causes us to actually go, oh, okay, what's he put in my hands? And so I did call the message, Preserve or Perish. And I just want to pick up 4 kingdom principles, okay? 4 kingdom of heaven principles. And the first one is this, everything is God's, okay? Everything is God's. And if you have a look in one of my favourite verses, and you would have heard me say it years and years and years, I pound this verse out. For all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been, and this is my phrase, all things have been created through Him and for Him. So everything that we have, everything that's been created, was created through Jesus and for Jesus. That's the purpose of it. Everything. I have this imagery in my mind that if I'm given 5 bags of silver or 2 bags of silver or 1 bag of silver and I decide to use whatever they, and I'm going to talk about what those bags might look like for us a little bit later, but I have this image in my mind. If I take those 5 bags of silver, those 2 bags of silver, those 1 bags of silver, and I use it for my gain. So, look, everything was given by Him and for Him. Imagine taking everything that God has given us and going, excellent, I'm going to build my world. It's actually illegal. It's called embezzling. It's like taking the owner's stuff and going, that he's put in our care to grow his wealth or his influence or his kingdom and going, I'm going to use it to build my kingdom. It's called embezzling and you go to jail for it. If we can have in our mindset that everything we have, we're called to steward. And I'll talk about what those talents might look like, as I said, a little bit later on. But that's the first kingdom principle I want to grab out of this parable, that everything is God's. The second kingdom principle is a saying that they often use in health, I guess. Use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. Let's go to that verse. Take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they'll have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Use it or lose it. It's interesting, isn't it? I think sometimes we read the parable of the talents and we forget that that at the end of the day, it all gets taken away. Sometimes we go, at some stage, I'm going to use these gifts and these talents. At some stage, I'm going to invest them in God's, but not right now, not right now. I'll get there. The parable is telling us that you can't do that. You can try to bury it. You can can try to showcase it, but the parable is saying you will lose it. It will disappear. Now, this is the last of the rubble. At some stage, that was a pretty decent building, I'd imagine. And now, well, you can see it's only that sort of that high, bit of a glass case over the top. Use it or lose it. You know, we can spend a whole lot of time trying to preserve and hold on to things. In life, in our own lives, hold on to all sorts of different things we try to hold on to. We try to hold on to our possessions, our traditions. To be honest, the last thing I wanted to do, and Rachel and I, the last thing we wanted to do was leave here. Here for life. Here for life. Here for life. And you can easily go into that preserving role. And God says, it's fine. It's fine. Because we have the illusion that we can hold on and hold on and hold on. But if we're not walking in step with God, it will actually be taken away. We think we can hold on, but it actually will be taken away. The blessing is third principle. Be faithful with a little. The master is full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. When we use it, we don't lose it. But also, what happens is, it grows. And it grows as God makes it grow. And I could really go into a whole other message about God does the growing. It's not done in our own capacity. Because let's remember, everything was created by Him and for Him. If we go, right, I'm yours, Lord. We've got promises like this that He's going to say, all right, let's do this. Now, I've got a good... I want to get to a bunch of practical stuff. One more kingdom principle out of the parable. Invest in eternity. The kingdom... This parable has some pretty... There's a dark side to this parable. You wicked and lazy servant. And it talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not a one-off parable in that sense. In Matthew 25, there's three parables, and they all finish the same way. Sheep and the goats, the 10 bridesmaids, wise and foolish, they all finish the same way. They all have this underlying eternal destiny in them. And we struggle with it because we look at it and go, oh, but, you know, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, so no one can boast. We read that in Ephesians 2:10. And we know that our salvation and everything that God does is through Christ. I am a new creation through Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. But these parables, they challenge us. They challenge us to action. They challenge us to say we need to live out our faith. And I'll get onto that in a little bit of time. There's passages like Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which says, in view of God's mercy, because of all that He's done in our lives, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. These beautiful passages that say, when God shows up in our life, He compels us. His love compels us, we read in 2 Corinthians 5. 1 John 4 says, we love because He first loved us. There's something about when God takes hold of our lives, we get onto His eternal agenda. That's what happens. Honestly, when there was 12 of us in a room at East Currajong looking to plant a church, God's glossy groovers, at no sense did we think... we weren't even thinking eternally.
We weren't thinking about generations and generations and generations. All Rachel and I were thinking about is youth group in the car park at Glossadia Community Centre. That's all we were thinking about. We weren't thinking about being in like senior ministry or that here. We weren't thinking about then the next generations and the generation of generations. We weren't thinking, couldn't even imagine that I'd be sitting with Phil Metcalf in London having dinner on our last night and Phil saying these words, which you're going to be so stoked about. Phil Metcalf, he says, I'm a bit more mature now. So he says, so you're clapping. So Phil Metcalf used to play the guitar and his hair was like, how long was his hair? Down here, and you remember. And he played the guitar like crazy and that. He says to me, went off to Hillsong College, did a whole lot of stuff, and he says, I've just grown up a lot. But this was the thing that really struck me. He said, I just want to say thank you to you and to HVBC because you taught me to follow Jesus and not follow a person. And he goes, and I've been in a space where it's been a bit complicated. He goes, but I've been okay. A lot of my peers have struggled because I've been okay because I was grown up that you follow Jesus, you don't follow a person. How cool is that? But that's the eternal perspective. Okay, in 1998, I read a book called The Purpose-Driven Church by Rick Warren. And what he said in that book is he said, we need more how-to sermons than ought-to sermons. And I'm reading that, and it was like God going, Mark, stop being an ought-to preacher. And I want you to learn how to be how-to. And so I thought about this morning, and we've got these talents, these parable of talents. Let's talk about what they actually are. What are these talents? How does that work itself out now in our lives? So think about, I'm about to go through six T's. Go through them fairly quickly. Six T's, like, you know me, I love to put letters in front of things and make it easy to remember. But this is the how to live out the parable of the talents, okay? It's not the how to, it's just a how to, it's practical. But it's about, I find this really helpful to say, what does it look like for me to fully live out all that God is, if everything's created by Him for Him, what does it look like? Okay, so we're going to go through six T's. And the first one I've just called is talents, okay? Now, when they come up, I'm going to get through those scriptures a little bit, but I want to start in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. It says, it's the first image of the church, and it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer and to the breaking of bread. And it says, the many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. This is in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit's coming, power, the church has been launched, and very, very, very soon after, there's this first image of the church, and it was all about the apostles. The apostles were doing their thing. In Acts chapter 6, which you'll remember, Kim, when you talk so much about this, in Acts chapter 6, the apostles are overwhelmed and the administrators come in. And the gifts are started to use there. And why Kim says that? Because Kim was 18 years old when she took over running the finances of this property. Acts chapter 6 was the administrators. And the beauty of the administrators, they got to die first because Stephen was one of them. Cool. They died for the kingdom first. But what I liked about that is the reality was that suddenly the work of the body of Christ had gone from the apostles very quickly into the hands of others, and actually into the hands of administrators who were then giving testimony. By the time it rattles through the New Testament, we've got Ephesians chapter 4, which is an early letter in the Bible, where it talks about there were gifts given to the church, a fivefold gifting, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And their job was to equip the saints. Everybody in. And you guys know that this church has been founded on that. Everybody in. To the point, we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We've been given a talent to be used for the common good. Each of us should use whatever gift you've received to serve others in faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Every time we use our talents, it makes a difference in people's lives and it ministers grace. It's not just for the professionals, if you like. I'm part of Greater West for Christ. You're part of Greater West for Christ. Greater West for Christ exists because HVBC dared to go, okay, let's invest beyond ourselves. And it's been incredible. We have a chaplaincy, this extraordinary chaplaincy ministry, which started here in partnership with Londonderry Church of Christ, or Hawkesbury Community Church of Christ in Londonderry. And it's gone on to 24 schools across Greater West with 19 chaplains. That was built by all sorts of different people in this place. Where everybody just said, let's make a difference. Leanne Cusack is in hospital at the moment getting her knee done. Greater West Finance comes out of this place. And they have actually given $200,000 toward chaplaincy out of the power of the home loan. Leanne's a mortgage broker. How can I use that talent for the kingdom? It's just awesome. So that's one. This is what the five bags look like, or the two bags look like, or the one bag. The second one that I want to talk about is title. Now, this might sound really weird, but title is your privileged position, your contacts. Jesus is our example. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset that is Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to use to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So the reality is we have many privileges. In the Western world, we have so many privileges. We have title, we have influence. And one of the things about you, one of the talents that we carry, we underestimate what we've got and how it can empower others. We can give permission to others, or we can stop them and hinder them. And your drummer, I asked this morning, 13 years old when he started drumming. Then I dobbed you in, Kylie. I said 12 years old when Kylie was on the keys. We have opportunities to open up to others and give others a chance to serve and use their gifts. It's amazing. And you go, well, I don't have a title. I'll tell you now, if you've got a medium rigid bus license, it's written on your card. You've got a title, and it's going to be used for the kingdom. We've done lots of bus driving over in Penrith of young people. Amazing what we've got. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Next T is tithe. Now, I'm not going to have a discussion about tithing and all the rest of it. I could talk a little bit about it, but all I know is this. Part of our contribution, part of using our talents, is our giving of our finances to God, giving back to God. And I just love this scripture. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. Look, Martin Luther in the Reformation said there's the conversion of the mind, there's the conversion of the heart, and the final conversion is the conversion of the purse. And I just encourage you, part of your talent, but you've got talents, you've got title, you've got tithe. I could have said giving, but I just wanted another two. And I actually believe tithing is an amazing, amazing, amazing way to give. And it's been a part of our life for ages, and it's pretty cool. One of the things, when we moved over to Penrith, we were looking to where we're going to move, and we were trying to figure out selling North Richmond and all this sort of stuff. But there was two prayers that Rachel and I were praying. Lord, a house for us, but a house for you. And that meant heaps to us. I remember being in this place, and the story some of you may or may not have heard, I remember us, before we were even in this building, standing on the other side of the road, crying out to the Lord,
with, my God, why have you forsaken us? We can't find a space to meet. And looking out at that field across the road and going, Lord, why won't this, Lord, surely this is the best place to have church. Lord, why are they not, why do the people not want to sell it to us? And where are we going to find this? Looking at this thing and going in despair. We've looked everywhere. And it's like God going, could you just turn around? We're literally standing opposite the gate looking out over there. And then someone said, you know, the back of that thing's for rent. The rent is here, and then the story goes on of just extraordinary provision of God. But you know, when that happened, a whole lot of people went, I'm going to sow into that. They sowed into their home, they sowed into the kingdom. And we stand on that, which is so cool. But there's more to come. We don't want to preserve this thing. We want to take it for a spin, yeah? Imagine what you could do with this place. One hectare. Anyway, that's for another day. The next T is time. In Acts chapter 2, that image of the church, they just made time. They made time for each other, opened their homes. They gathered together. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Hebrews chapter 10, 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. When I was asked to come and speak here, I'm going, oh, mate, I'll give time to be in this place. Let's spur each other on. Let's go again. This sounds fantastic. Sounds absolutely fantastic. Recently, we've been working on some stuff over at Penrith Baptist, and this image, next one, please, mate, next slide. This one, what's a healthy community? And we've actually come up with this bit of these quadrant things. You've seen them before. But a healthy community has high commitment and high vulnerability. But people give their time to gather, but they also they give of themselves. They share their stories. No community is where there's low commitment, low vulnerability. A self-centered community is when you show up, when you feel like showing up, and it's all about you. You know, when you're meeting together, and people blow in, and I'm probably one of them, you blow in like I'm doing today, and it's all about you, and then you leave. That doesn't build community. Similarly, we can have beautiful communities where we're committed, we come together and I'm committed. Where's this next generation? Why aren't they committed? Have you ever said that? Have you heard that? But a good community has a vulnerability where we share each other's stories, where we spur each other on, because that's what Hebrews tells us to do. That's another one of the talents that we can bring. Okay. Next one. That's very practical. Title, time, tenacity. Okay. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Passionate, mature followers of Jesus Christ. Passionate. That was the key verse where passion came from. In view of God's mercy, because of all He's done for us, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, mature, holy, and pleasing to God. This is how we worship. We fire up for God. Never be lacking in zeal or lose your spiritual fervor. Never be lacking in zeal or lose your spiritual fervor. That's what the bags of silver look like. When the servant buried the bag, I don't think he was passionate. I think he was fearful. That's the image we see. Preserving. Passion has that sense of, God, where are you? What are you up to now? Where are you moving now? I want to be on your agenda. And why? There's a reason. Why?
because of all you've done. In view of God's mercy, the first 11 chapters of Romans sets this stage that God has been gracious. He's saved us. We've done nothing to deserve it, so then our response is crazy passion. And he promises, because that Matthew 28, make disciples. That's the I don't know, you guys know the purpose statement? Purpose of HVBC is to make disciples, beginning with unreached people, ending with passionate, mature followers of Jesus Christ. Based in Matthew 28, and Matthew 28, there's a big thing that Jesus says, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. In your passion, he will not abandon us. Jesus is amazing. He is amazing. The amount of times in the Bible where it says when Jesus comes in, when he invades someone's world, it says, and they were astonished at his teaching. I think that my next chapter is Jesus astonishing. They were astonished at his teaching. They were amazed at the miracles he did. And then the crazy thing is, if you read in John, Jesus says, and you will do, when the counsel comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will do what I have done and even greater things. That's what we're invited into. That's why we can be passionate. Because Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is equipping us. He's gifting us. He's bearing fruit in our lives. He's counseling us. He's rebirthing us. He's sanctifying us. All the roles of the Holy Spirit. He's filling us. So we don't have to bury and be fearful. We just want yours. And this one, Colossians 3. So it's motivation, but it's mindset. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is set at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. You died. And now your life is hidden with Christ in God. When I made this shirt, so this is a personal shirt, okay? When I say I made it, I got somebody to do the logo. You guys know I can't do it. But the reason it says J unrestricted is, you know those logos, PG, M, restricted, MA restricted, and all the rest of it. I thought, I want to live a J-rated life. Not a PG, because I'm sick of people saying Christianity is like G. Christianity's not G. It's got death on a cross. It's got sacrifice. It's got... Christianity is not a moral code. It's not a G-rated life. It's a J-rated life. It's a J-rated life. It's WWJD. What would Jesus do? But it's even more than that. It's WWJF. What would Jesus feel? It's WWJT. What would Jesus think? It's WWJ. Make one up. It's all about Jesus and our life being hidden in Christ. And it's got no restrictions. It's about just keeping step where Jesus goes. The Word of God is empowering. It's amazing. A quote that was on the wall when I used to be down there was this on my wall from a book called The Call by Oz Guinness. For some people, the grand passion is art, music, or literature. For others, the dream of freedom and justice. Yet for others, the love of a man or a woman. And I love Rach, and this 30 years, it's fantastic. But search as you will, there is no higher or more ultimate passion than a human being ablaze with a desire for God. You can jump into Romans 6, you can jump into Matthew 6. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be sorted. Tenacity. Investing, that's what the parable of the talents is all about. The five baggers going, I'm gonna double this. And the master comes back and says, all right, let's celebrate together. You've been faithful with those. Let's give you some more. In fact, I'm going to take that bag from that one, and I'm going to give that to you as well. Always feels unjust, doesn't it? That the poor one-bag person loses their bag, and the one with all the bags gets even more. In our funny mind, we think that's not fair or whatever we think. But every single one of us is invited to a life of faithfully and radically following Jesus. And the final T is testimony. Now, there's a reason why I wear this shirt. Because it's my testimony. It's just what I want the world to know. That Jesus is amazing. I want you to imagine right now you're about to go home. You're going to get on Vistaprint. And you're going to pull up one of their shirts. $20. And on the back, it's going to say, Jesus is astonishing. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is, what does Jesus mean to you? The last thing we want is a whole lot of people walking around with a Jesus amazing shirt. That's the testimony that's in my heart. It hasn't changed. Jesus on the back of my cricket bat. You guys remember the band For His Glory? And like, just overt Christianity is just means the world to me. But what does your shirt say? What is your testimony? In your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Okay, recap. Let's see if we can remember. What were the six T's? There was talent, time, tithe. Fully written down. So the master returns from his trip and gets the report. Pulls us all in front of him. Sees our fruit. What happens? I have the answer. The master returns from his trip. And we stand with him. I wonder what happens. Band to come up. One of the things that I know for me that I've learned is that you just can't rest on the past. You've got to go again. There's time when we go, wow, I've checked out a bit. And we've got to read the whole Bible, because this is one part of the Bible, parable. We've got to read it in tension with the other. One John, where he says, if we confess our sins, he is righteous to forgive us our sins. He'll cast our sins aside, the east is from the west. I'm not talking about us being perfect. I'm just talking about us being surrendered. And so, the band's going to play, and I don't know what stops us from grabbing that. Everything was created by him for him. I don't know what stops us. I know what stops me, but I don't know what stops you from saying it's all yours. It could be disappointment. It could be, I've tried that before and it didn't work. It could be fear. What if it doesn't work? We could have a. You will all know what it is that causes us to go, I want to bury it. I don't. You will know. But God, He invites us to the extraordinary. And He invites us to a life faithful with the talent. As we play this song, I'm going to invite you if you like. Some of you, like many of you know me, and I made a decision, and you know you've all heard this before. I made a decision many, many years ago. As I got older, I just noticed that people didn't respond in messages. It's like the altar call was for the teenagers. That's how it worked. And then you'd sit there and an appeal would come forward and Lord, do you want me to go forward? And I remember wrestling with that, thinking, why is it that we just do that? And I came back and said, you know, Lord, I've got this decision in life I'm going to make. And I still do it to this day. But whenever I'm invited to respond to you, I'm going to walk down the front. And I'm only going to not walk down the front if you tell me not to. I'm going to flip that on its head because I want to always be open. Now, having said that, I am extroverted, so there is an element, and I don't really worry about what anyone thinks. So, as far as like, you know. So as we do this song, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, and you might need to just go, you know, today is just, I'm in, Lord. I want to take every part of who I am and how you've formed me and surrender it afresh to you. So I welcome you. I'm going to sit in the seats because it's an altar call, so I will respond. It's my default position to respond. You can join me at the front and sitting in the seats. You can come and then leave. Or you can stay and we can pray together or get others to pray with you. But just as we play this song, you've got an opportunity to respond. You've got an opportunity to say, you know, I want to get about your kingdom come, your will be done in this place as it is in heaven. So thanks, guys. Come and join me if you feel prompted to, or you go, I think, please.